The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2020. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. Jack Andrea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We have an exciting hour ahead of us with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, paying his monthly visit to the program. And we have two very special guests joining us in the studio and a very interesting topic that we will get to in just a moment. But first, we welcome Brian Albrecht to the morning show off of his sick bed and finally feeling better after several days of being rather significantly under the weather, I understand.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here. You know that. And I would never miss one of your shows if it wasn't something serious. And for me, not feeling well is quite a unique experience because I can't
remember in all the years you've been here, I don't ever remember you being sick. So.
I know. It was. I empathize with all of those that maybe have had that experience with the flu over the last couple of months because it was no fun for me the last few days. But I'm glad to be back. There's so many exciting things happening on campus, and I miss it when I'm not here. So thanks for the well wishes.
Good. Well, we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
Glad you're feeling better. I know that one thing that happened recently that you feel so good about is the announcement of Gateway's Adult Promise Program. Explain to our listeners what that's all about.
Well, I'm so proud of the work that our community does in investing in our students. You know, about 2 years ago, we launched a program called the Youth Promise. So students in high school that maybe didn't have an affordable path onto college, our foundation raised funds to help support those students. And it's called the Last Dollar Scholarship. So essentially, a student would take advantage of federal financial aid, and the difference between financial aid and the cost of their tuition, our foundation would pay for. So free college tuition. You see some of the banners around the campuses right now because we're in recruiting mode for the youth program. So 2 weeks ago, our board approved an Adult Promise program. So these are individuals that have started college and maybe have accumulated 10 or 12 credits but never finished and had already leveraged their federal financial aid but now are kind of caught in between. How do I go back to school? And so we launched the Adult Program in order to help bring adults back into the college environment, help them complete their degree, give them an affordable path to make that happen. And really, we think it's going to be one of the key elements for helping adults develop a pathway that's going to lead to great career opportunities.
Exciting. Tell us about the Workforce Development Institute that you just returned from. This was pre-flu, I assume.
Yeah, right. It was about maybe 3 weeks ago now already. It's actually held, this particular event was held in Florida, but it's held once a year across the nation, and it really helps to drive the importance of workforce development. And Gateway's been a leading partner in making these presentations and really helping to champion the work that we're doing with our business partners. So just want to give a big shout out to Matt Janison, who was also there, Vice President for Workforce Solutions, and Katie Dombrowski, who led our partnership with the Metallica Foundation, the rock band Metallica. We were recognized during this event for our second round of Metallica funds. So we're a two-time grantee from the Metallica band and real excited about that. And we also had a chance to have a deep discussion about our expanded apprenticeship initiatives. And I'm honored to serve on the National Board for Apprenticeship for America's Community Colleges. And Gateway's in a real strong position to not only expand what we're currently doing, but assist and lead in the development of new apprenticeship programs. So just a big shout out for everyone that's involved in the workforce development regions of Gateway.
Wonderful. I know that you want to tell us about a scholarship event that either is coming up or just happened.
Oh, it was just last Saturday, actually, so it just happened, and it was unbelievable. Every year, you know, there are certain things that just inspire you, and I could name a dozen of them, but this one time a year when we award our scholarships to our students. It's just absolutely remarkable. Our donors come out, our students and their families come out, our staff and faculty come out, and everybody celebrates the academic success of our students. So this year, we were able to award 255 scholarships for a total of $212,000 financial support for our students at Gateway. And just a great big congratulations to all of our scholarship winners, and a big thank you to all of our donors for making this opportunity a reality.
Wonderful. Finally, an item that I don't know anything about, the eSports Initiative.
Yeah, Duel, I'm laughing a little bit because I don't know that much about it either, but I'm learning. So I'm assuming that you'll learn. Now, I bet you've probably heard of, like, gaming.
Sure.
So, and it's a tremendously powerful tool to help engage students in learning as well. So it's not just about playing computer games. It's about developing an academic pathway into IT professions, coding professions. Think of any profession. In fact, I'm watching you run the radio show here today. It's all digital, right?
Yeah.
So there are elements of this e-sports or this this digital economy that we live in that are, I think, viable pathways for students. So Gateway has partnered with CCB Technologies in Racine and Racine Unified School District to launch a club activity in eSports. So we're building out a new lab on the Racine campus, and we hope to have a competitive team that we can work with other colleges and universities across the region and to give our students a chance to be excited as we are about this whole environment of the digital economy and eSports. I would notice that as we just completed the Super Bowl, last year, not this year, but last year, 98 million people watched the Super Bowl, and there's an event similar to that in the eSport world called the League of Legends. 99 million people watched League of
wow.
Legends. So more people were paying attention to eSports than NFL football. So you can make money at it, you can build a career around it, and you can engage students in learning. And so we're excited to be a part of this new and emerging occupational career area here at Gateway.
Fantastic. So we have two special guests with us as well. And why don't you just say a quick word about why we have Ray Kukari and Jeff Daniel in the studio.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So this was about 2 years ago or so. I was involved and still am involved in helping this organization called Visioning a Greater Racine. How do we build greater capacity and help our community come together around many different aspects? Transportation, I think we held one of our programs actually on transportation.
Yes.
But also, how do we engage innovation and really create an opportunity for new startups? And so a part of that effort built out around this concept called a tech prize. And I'll have Ray and Jeff explain that a little bit more. But that was intriguing to me because it speaks to the idea of smart city innovation, the past history of Racine, and the role that Gateway can play in helping inspire our graduates to be entrepreneurial and be innovative in their thoughts and ideas and how they can accelerate that in their own lives.
Very good. So we're happy to welcome back, first of all, Ray Kukari, who is Dean of Manufacturing, Engineering, and IT here at Gateway Technical College. Great to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Excited to be back.
And then we have with us Jeff Daniel, who is the CEO of a brand new startup company called Blue Flux Power. Am I getting that right?
You've got it right. Good morning to you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here, and we're excited to kind of hear the story behind this brand new company and kind of take our listeners inside what it is to be part of the startup experience. Ray Kukari, though, let's begin with you. The last time you were on the program, you were telling us about all kinds of exciting things happening over at the IMET Center. So give us an update on what is going on there.
Well, there's still tons of activity, as you know, and many of our donors that were at the scholarship award that Brian was talking about have been through the center. They're excited. This March, we have reverse job fairs coming on for all of our programs, so there'll be many employers there to hire our graduates just as they're getting ready to graduate. So it's an exciting opportunity for us. We've launched two new programs, an IT full-stack developer, which is a boot camp type, 15 weeks, and you can actually go to development. So we're competing against like the DevCos of the world. And then we're about to launch in the summer a similar one in manufacturing that'll be 15 weeks and prepare people to actually be in advanced manufacturing careers. It's a very exciting time.
Yeah, it's very different. I remember when we first started the build-out for the IMET Center. I think we had a vision of what we wanted that facility to look like and then the types of programs. And now as we watch it grow and develop and be fully engaged with our community, the expansion of those programs in advanced manufacturing, robotics, automation, cybersecurity, full-stack developer, Google certification, all of those things are new as a result of this opportunity that our community has gifted us in to build out the IMET Center. So we continue to look at that as a valuable resource, as a facility, but also as an inspiration for innovation, which is really what's driving this whole conversation today around tech startups.
Ray Kakari, remind our listeners who might not know exactly where the IMET Center is located.
Sure. It's actually between Highway 20 and Highway 11 on Highway H. So if you go to the Marcus Theater and come up the road to the water tower, you're right there at our campus.
There we are, yes.
I like to say that we kind of bookend the Foxconn facility. So the Science and Technology Park takes up 3,000 acres. To the south would be the Gateway Horizon Center for automotive transportation, a very creative, innovative space. And to the north would be the IMET Center for manufacturing. So manufacturing, transportation, and in the center of all of that is our nation's largest build-out for science and technology around transportation and manufacturing.
Wow. Action-packed little part of the state there.
Yeah. My past life, my most recent life, I was responsible for operations at Johns Controls. So 86 manufacturing plants around the world. And when I got to know Ray and Brian and team, I got to tour the original facility and now the new. I can't tell you if you're part of our community how much of an advantage this is for our community, because we have to have these skills. And so if you're a young person thinking about where you're going and you're not sure and you've got aptitudes for those things, please go see these guys, because it's a big deal.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
So finally, Ray Kakari, tell us a little bit about the array of responsibilities that you have being a dean here at Gateway. What are the kinds of things that you are responsible for overseeing?
Well, number one, student success. That's probably the biggest thing I have to look out for and make sure that I'm an advocate for them. So I'm there to help them, guide them on the right path and pathway. I'm there to work with our faculty to make sure they're delivering the best curriculum we can. And that includes industry certifications, so it's not only a degree, but we have those certifications that actually build, that they can build on to go for that degree, and we have many of those. So those are some of the basic things I'm responsible for, but also new program development ideas. And I don't do that myself. I have a team of fantastic faculty that jump in and literally take the reins and run with it. So
hey, I can't agree more. Ray just does a terrific job leading, but it's a team effort, not only in the manufacturing sector, but all the different sectors that we offer here at the college. 70 associate degree programs, 200 industry credentials, 400 industry advisory committee members. So the outreach is really, really far and deep at Gateway, and just really proud of the work that the leadership team does and that Ray provides to help not only connect us with great companies in our community, but provide those pathways of opportunity for our students to become future employees.
Incredible. Well, we're so happy to have with us Jeff Daniel, who is, as we said earlier, the CEO of a brand new startup called Blue Flux Power, and we're anxious to hear all about that. And Jeff Daniel, you've already just given us a little sliver of your personal biography in terms of what you've done before this, but give us the little fuller picture of where you're from originally and what your professional life has been up to this point now as you are starting this new company.
Yeah, sure. The quick version is born in Southwest Missouri, school in Kansas, engineer by education, moved to Michigan in 1990, worked in the automotive supply space and all of the jobs you would do in that for 25 years. And so I started out in advanced manufacturing and designing products and processes, and then we started launching plants. And so all the roles one would do in a plant, you know, everything from being a manufacturing engineer to running the plant. And then so did four different startups of plants. And so those are often referred to as like a brownfield. You're starting an existing building but modifying it. So did two of those. And then two of those is a greenfield where you build a new building and you have to put in all the equipment and hire the people and that kind of thing. And then when I was running one, we sold to a supplier. And at that point, I went and started that up for a couple years. And then I came back to then Johnson Controls and the procurement function, because we needed people that understood kind of how to make things and such. And so I ended up working through kind of like as a consulting role, working with the owners of companies and things like that on how do you run a really good business? How do you implement continuous improvement? How do you make money? You know, it's a very intense segment of the market because the price pressures are significant. And so those that win are better than the others is the way it works. And so you have to figure that out. From there, then, I ended up running a part of our procurement organization as a VP for a period of time. And then most recently, I transitioned back into operations. And then so I was leading, I was vice president of operations excellence for Johnson Controls. So we had 86 manufacturing plants around the world and the functions that would go with that. So safety, quality, delivery, cost management, and those kind of things. So that's that.
That's fantastic. I mean, what a breadth of experience, 86 plants around the world, and you'll be able to see the different perspectives of how each operation works and apply that in other unique circumstances. And I think a part of that probably is just the creating a culture mm-hmm. of continuous improvement and working with employees to develop that culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so fascinating about the ideas that you bring forward, especially around innovation, design, and this idea of tech prize and startup companies, because that's what it takes, a creative mindset by a group of people in order to carry those forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm reminded of a morning show interview that just aired the last couple of weeks. It was a rebroadcast of a conversation with a guy named Andrew Burrows, who at least at that time lived in Kenosha, but worked as an engineer someplace in Northern Illinois. And he wrote this amazing book called Everyday Engineering, How Engineers See.
Hmm.
And it was a book that tried to help the rest of us understand how you guys see the world and the way that an engineer walks into a room like this studio and looks at it with different eyes than we do in terms of the shape of this table and how these microphones are hanging. And
why.
Yeah, exactly. And although this works perfectly fine, you know, this would actually probably be even better if such and such. And engineers are both maybe wired and trained to see the world and see, for instance, manufacturing plants with a particular eye for what's working well and what could work even better.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what a lot of your life has been devoted to.
Can I give you just a short? So this is the way I think I've come to think about it, and I think a lot of people want to think about it. We've all heard of Toyota as a pretty effective manufacturing organization,
sure.
Okay? And they developed something called the lean manufacturing process that many people try to mimic in different ways and that kind of thing. And so I'd gone through all of the trainings that Johnson Controls had offered, had worked with a number of consultants and that kind of thing, but I really wanted to understand what was intended by those groups. And so I started working with a couple gentlemen that they were responsible for when the Toyota organization first came to Kentucky. And they had to translate all those intentions to say, here's what we want that we did in our Japanese culture that we want to do in the United States. And then another gentleman was a sensei for that organization. He grew up in California. His name is Monty Mitchell. He was on the line. He was kind of a punk kid. You know, he was always asking questions. I said, well, since you ask so many questions, why don't you get into doing this? And so he did. But the thing I really got out of that is all the consultants and such really miss a lot of the intentions that came out of that. There was a book called The Toyota Way, written by a guy named Jeffrey Liker, that tried to capture it all. But when I read it the first time, until I engaged with those folks, I missed a lot of the cultural intents. They took a 900-page manual and boiled it down to 16 pages to try to communicate the culture they intended, the way they wanted people to think. And then they would take leaders and assign them to individual new leaders for a period of about a year to get them to understand the culture and the way they wanted them to think. One of the most impactful things they gave to me was there's a discipline called 5S, okay? And it's the organizational method by which you would organize a plant and have everything is placed. There's descriptions for the five steps. But when they taught it at Toyota, they would ask themselves, what do you intend by 5S? They intend to see the difference between normal and abnormal.
Hmm.
So if you go to the work to define in your family, in your church, in your business, in whatever your process is, what it's supposed to look like, and you can see when it's not right, then you can figure out how to make it a little bit better every day. So that's really kind of the magic of being good and getting better, is knowing where you're supposed to be and if it's not right.
Huh. I love that.
Yeah, well, that's a definition really of engineering. Stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that explanation because I think it puts context to how do you continuously improve the work you're doing. We try to do that here at the college as well.
Yeah.
Evaluate programs, evaluate outcomes of those programs, and try to increase the outcomes by improving the program, right? So it's a circular experience.
Absolutely. So, Jeff Daniel, tell us more about this brand new company of yours called Blue Flux Power and what prompted you to launch it and what this feels like.
So, I've always been involved in innovative things throughout my career. I've applied for many patents. I've received only one. but I've always had a passion for the creation of the new, because the creation of the new is what makes the world different, right? Ray and I have had the privilege through the starting of this tech prize. It's getting us in a community of just outstanding people throughout the nation. I'm sure around the world, it's occurring for me around the world because of it. Through this process, we met an individual that had developed a way to take the original ideas that Tesla had. Okay, so I'm going back to Edison and Tesla, right? Wow. And so they came up with the AC and DC power intents. But Tesla always has this intention that he could make it much better than that. So using those theories, we've been able to come to the place now where we can create power without fuel and without exhaust that will run continually because of the computing power we have and because of the power storage we have in supercapacitors through graphene technologies and things like this. So I through this tech prize process, ran into these people, and they were a group of scientists that have this killed, right? They've got this nailed and it works, which was excited me like crazy, but they needed people that could make things. And so I'm a make things kind of guy. And so I've joined the group in the make things responsibility. And so that's my lot in life.
That's a great title too. But I should tell you, don't feel bad about only having one patent. That's like 100% more than most of us.
Oh, okay.
Because we have none and you have one already. So you should be really proud of that.
But,
yeah. In fact, you know, Snap-on celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. And so the CEO, Nick Pinchuk, uses the whole theme makers and fixers.
Right.
And so that's his whole thing. It's about really respecting the dignity of work, and those that can build and make and create can do and solve the problems that those others that have thought of before.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll go broke or if we'll change the world, but somewhere in the middle, this will work out.
Right, there you go.
So tell us more than exactly about what Blue Flux Power will do. I mean, and exactly what you're going to make. Or aren't you certain of that yet?
No, we're very certain. It's an electrical generation system that can work on grid or off grid. That, as I said, literally does not need power. It will set in a unit that's the size of a big server rack. And it could run a bunch of houses at a time, or, you know, a 10-story building or a manufacturing plant or any of those kind of things. And so the idea that in the future we won't need carbon-based fuels to do that kind of stuff is exciting. And the other thing I think the world needs to understand is our consumption of electrical energy is going to grow exponentially in the coming time. Our current grid is quite dated, and it's terribly expensive, particularly when you get into more rural areas. So, you know, a power company can handle when power is consolidated and stuff. They really struggle to be cost effective when it's got to be distributed out in a mountain.
Sure.
Or in a farming field or in a cellular tower that's someplace that they can't get to. And so, you know, there'll be a place, because a lot of people ask me when they hear that, it's like, well, is that going to like destroy a lot of jobs? Absolutely not. There's going to be a natural transition where we're in technologies today that will be replaced by technologies tomorrow, and it'll work together. I think it'll be very, very effective.
That's exciting. It's kind of a similar story we tell people about robotics, too.
Yeah.
A robot's going to outplace all the jobs. No,
yeah.
That's actually probably going to increase, because you're going to need programmers. You're going to need the makers and the fixers of the robots.
Right.
You're going to need those that are going to be able to perform the functions of training the robots. So there's a lot of
applications. So certain jobs disappear and other jobs appear.
So, yeah, a more higher knowledge-based jobs, which then increases your opportunity to earn a higher income. So there's a value proposition to replacing the lower jobs with higher skilled jobs.
Right. So is Blue Flux Power up and running, or are you still in kind of the pre-launch phase?
No, we're completing the funding. It's that level of launch, right? And so we've got time with significant funding groups. It's if you haven't been through that process, it's an intriguing process to get people to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish, and that investing in you is a good idea.
Hmm.
So that's where it is right now.
Wow,
yep.
Quite exciting.
Yep.
Ray Kakari, I imagine when you listen to a story like this, it gets all of your pistons firing, thinking about the work that you do with students and the kind of entrepreneurial spirit that you're trying to nurture in a lot of the students who are here at Gateway.
It sure does, and it's an exciting time. And, you know, it brings us to that tech prize thing, which we'll get to in a bit. But you're right. Our students are so excited And many of them, like the IT students, want to create their own programs and want to go out into the world and create that startup. Mm-hmm. And they'll do that, and they need our business programs to educate them and get the right tools in their toolbox so that they're successful. Not on the scale Jeff's talking about, but, you know.
Maybe.
You're right. But we've had many, many with successes on the starting their own companies here in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth County. And we're very proud of our students as they graduate and go on to these fields.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, we have with us Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, Ray Kukari, dean of manufacturing, engineering, and IT here at Gateway, and Jeff Daniel, who is the CEO of a brand new startup company called Blue Flux Power. And it is an exciting venture indeed that might very likely change the world, or change certainly the way we power the world. And in this time in which most of us are very concerned about climate change, it's really exciting to think about brand new ways of generating power that are not going to be so harmful to the planet. Ray Kukari, I know that one of the things that you want to explain to us today, and I hope in terms that all of us will be able to understand, the Internet of Things and the Industrial Internet.
Yes, fantastic. So the Internet of Things, 1973, I believe, we had our first device added to the Internet. Do you remember what that was? Does anybody?
First device added to the Internet? Phone.
No, it was actually an ATM machine.
An ATM machine.
That
okay.
was our first Internet of Things device, and we could get cash out of it. It was like our extended teller, right? Since then, obviously, we've had more and more of these Internet of Things added. So they are Internet of Things can be anything like your garage door opener that has a smart technology app on your phone, to anything. I see dishwashers now, refrigerators that tell you, they actually send your order in for what you're short of, and the guy will come and fill your fridge up. It's kind of crazy what the Internet of Things. Domino's, I can look at when my pizza is going to be made and delivered. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the things that we are doing today, and that's going to change dramatically because more and more of these apps are coming online. So the devices, the Internet of Thing devices, have gone from that one in 1973 to, they're predicting in 2025, 1 billion a day will be added. Now think about that.
Wow.
1 billion a day. That's a lot of
That's
device.
A lot.
But going along with that is Industrial Internet of Things. What are those? The Industrial Internet of Things relies on a lot faster transaction time than our normal IoT device. So that's where this 5G comes along. 5G technology says that I'm going to respond to you within 0.5 milliseconds. Which is really fast. Your average latency on a transaction today is about 300. We're talking 0.5. So what that means to the medical field is a surgeon now can do precise surgery long distance on a brain. Hmm. Couldn't happen before. Now with this technology, it will be able to happen. A manufacturer can have synchronized operations going at a much faster rate than they could today if they're on 5G with this technology.
So you can tell Ray's an IT expert. This is what he's been trained in. Yeah. So for me, it's like when you're watching the commercials in the Super Bowl and they say 5G is coming, right? And so the U.S. is moving to this new platform. It's the next generation of the smart platform. So the smart city initiatives in Racine, the iMed expansion built around smart manufacturing, all of those components that we've been talking about have been building for this greater capacity for the world to work and interact with each other and with machines. So this internet, of industrial internet, Internet of Things, the way we live our lives, all of it is based on the idea of innovation and entrepreneurship. So every product is going to be reinvented or is being reinvented to be able to be smarter and more responsive to the needs of humans.
Mm-hmm. And is this something where the United States is trying to catch up to a place like South Korea or something, or are we all kind of in this race together to make this happen?
Well, the interesting thing is many countries are ahead of us because they don't have the wired infrastructure we have. So they can put towers up and literally go to 5G overnight. Mm. That won't happen here. It happened in England because they could do that. Less land mass, just like Jeff was explaining before, so they could easily put up 5G. We'll get there. we're going to get there really fast because if you look at the projections from all the telecoms, they're all saying that within the next 2 years, they're going to be ready.
Right. So what does this have to do with Gateway?
That's a great question. We are actually deploying 5G at the IMET Center. That's one thing we're doing so that we can stay on that cutting edge and implement that in our manufacturing programs, in our IT programs. It also has to do with Gateway because we're part of this Tech Prize project that we're working on with, and that's what Jeff's going to talk about a little, with the Visioning a Greater Scene and this WAVE team called the
Thriving Economy.
Thriving Economy. So that's where Tech Prize comes from. Thank you, Jeff.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So how does this fold into, for instance, does this fold into your specific venture? I mean, your startup company?
I think I'd like to answer that in a couple different ways if I could. Item number one is to try to understand how people appreciate the change in data in our world. Okay, so in 1999, if you would use all the data in the world and you would put it inside a space, call it two marbles of space. Okay, they called that an exabyte at that time. Okay, in 2025, we're going to need 150 basketballs to hold all the information in the world. Right now, we're at about 35 basketballs. So in the next 5 years, you think about how that curve is changing going forward. So I'm going to start by saying that everybody needs to understand that our world is changing. We can choose to either change with it and be a part of that or being on the outside looking at it, wondering what those people are doing. Okay?
Right, right.
The second thing I'm going to say is that in my roles to date, I've had the privilege to travel all around the world, meet people of different cultures. We're a little bit arrogant in the United States right now. There are youth in a lot of these other countries that are just pounding it intellectually and academically, and they're learning at a faster rate than we are. And so if we think we can sit on our historic laurels and, mm-hmm. and win the future game, we're sorely mistaken. And so I guess I would say that. The last point I would make in that is whether you're a startup or an existing entity, the answer is absolutely you have to have all of these things. And so if I was working and interviewing with young people, it doesn't matter if you're young or what age, we have to have these skills to compete going forward.
Yeah. So could you describe a little bit then the idea of a tech prize? Is it to help inspire that innovation, to have youth and adults really start thinking about how they can be a player in this new space, how they can take their ideas to market, how they can celebrate the idea of innovation? Is that what this is all about?
Yeah, I'd like to, if I could, maybe answer that in two ways. First, you mentioned the Visioning a Greater Racine group. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was talk about how do you take a community and make it great? And when that group started, one of the things that came up, Ray mentioned the thriving economy, is the WAVE team that he and I are on. How do you have a thriving economy in a community? We'll call it Eastern Wisconsin, period. Racine is where I happen to live, right? But inside of that, then, the concept of Tech Prize was, there was a lot of brainstorming that occurred, but it was, do you need jobs? Do you need talent? Do you need ideas? Yeah, you need all of it. So we have to design a process that would motivate every one of those intentions. So that's what Tech Prize is. It's the beginning of an idea exchange. It's the beginning of a knowledge exchange. I mentioned that because of this, I'm meeting some of the most outstanding and most intelligent people in the world. Well, what if we can get those things to come to our community? So that's the intention of Tech Prize.
I like it. It's like the human internet of things, right?
It is.
It's bringing people together around great ideas.
Right? So, yeah.
So tell us how this competition is put together, and have you designed it with examples from other places that you've maybe heard about, or is this something that is more of one of those green developments that you're kind of starting from scratch?
No, it had an initial idea that sparked it. I lived in West Michigan, and in 08 and 09, when the economy really dove, the Amway Group, have you ever heard of that group?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Two families started that, Van Andel and DeVos. One of the DeVos children had the idea to have a competition around art, okay? So they called it Art Prize. And he put up $500,000 of his own money and said, I'm going to have a competition. Anyone in the world can come and compete. Put up your wares. We're going to give away a prize. We'll have a good time, see what happens. The first day, 18,000 people showed up.
Wow.
By the end of the first weekend, they were running out of food, out of beverage. And the second weekend, 30,000 people a day were showing up. They were running out of hotel space. And so we loved the idea. And so I took a group from here, and we said, that's kind of a good idea. What if we had something like that for us? So we went to Grand Rapids, and we took it in last year. And
so this is still going on.
Yeah, it's 10 years later. They still have 30,000 people a day over a 19-day period. Better than a half a million people visit their community during this period. It's worth $30 million in revenue just in the tourism for their community. So we like that, right? So how can you create a process that creates the dialogue, right? So we're going to do the same thing in downtown Racine.
So you're using it as the convening of people,
yes,
around the concept, in that case, art, but in your case, technology.
Yeah. So now it moves forward, right? And you say, okay, how do you structure this thing? So art, that's cool. But we wanted to then expand and say, okay, number one, we'd like to get the ideas to come to our community. So there will be seven different tracks of things that are going to occur. So the first thing is there's an idea competition. We want to get to the youth all the way up to the professionals like all of us, right, to say, bring your idea. Put it in downtown Racine. We'll have it over a 12-day period. People can come around. They'll vote on it on a web app that they'll be walking around in our community. Everybody can participate. And by the way, while you're there, have a cup of coffee. Visit a restaurant. We'll have all sorts of fun social things going on every day in the community following the themes of those kind of things. But then it's not just about the idea. So the next thing is we need to engage people in knowledge and such. And so we met this gentleman named Ian Ballantyne. Ian runs Not Your Parents' Basement gaming community there in Racine. And so, you know, historically, sports have been physical sports, but it's limited to the number of people that it can actually compete. And so there's lots of kids that have been playing games, so they've now just kind of put it together in a much more complex but competitive way where it's teams. They have shirts. They're organized. But the biggest thing, if you, like, talk to Ian and such, or you go see one of their competitions, you know, schools are supporting other schools. They're telling them how to do things. They're cheering on. You know, I mean, it's just a really great environment. The other fun thing is, you know, their heart rates are 150 beats a minute as they're doing this. They have to work out to be prepared to be effective doing this. So, but then the other thing of that is, you know, it was mentioned by Brian, you know, 99 million people watched. It's an industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Therefore, Gateway, Parkside, and others are implementing programs to take advantage of that, right?
Right.
And so that then is going to lead ideally to the next technology thing. So coding will be a topic that we will have a competition on. So the thought process of Racine won the Smart City competition for the nation for a mid-sized community. And so Corey Mason, I think William Martin was here last month, if I recall correctly, right, talking about those things, right? We want to run just headlong right into those objectives and make sure that we include those and deliver on those outputs through the ideas and through the coding competitions that will help our communities grow and thrive as we move
forward. I'm excited for it right now. It's like going to a winter fest, yeah, but we don't have to worry about the ice melting or anything.
Right.
This thing, it just keeps continuing to generate more interest and more energy. So all of these things come together, the idea of esports, gaming, interest of youth, innovation, entrepreneurship, and bringing it together as a convening model around people's thoughts and ideas.
But there's more.
Tell us more.
The more is that we want to teach people how to launch businesses if they have that need. Or if they don't have the ability to launch it themselves, connect them with those that can help them do that. So have you heard of Shark Tank ever on television? So we're going to do something like that. It's going to be a pitch competition. So we happen to have an individual that was, you know, spent time as a youth in our community that was out in California, launched lots of businesses out there. His name is Rick Onion. He's currently building a number of restaurants downtown and that kind of thing. But he's going to help us run the pitch competition, okay? And so we'll have a number of venture capitalists, referred to as VCs, that will be here that will solicit the ideas that want to be pitched. We'll make sure they're of that quality. But then if you've got an idea and you're out there listening, you want to be part of that, you know, you might get funded to launch a significant business. And so after that, then, there are two more things that go with it. Item number one is there will be a set of biz shops teaching people throughout that 12-day period how to launch businesses, all the things you need to know to do that, right? And they'll be hit at a mid-level of communication so that, you know, if you're in third grade and you want to hear this stuff, come, right? If you're an adult and you've got a great idea and you want to know how I set up and protect my intellectual property, those things will be covered next. That kind of thing. But the last thing then is something called tech shops. And so we actually want to teach the core skills that people are going to need in our community. And so there's a list of those things you'll be able to find on our website and that kind of thing. But again, if you're an adult and you're at a certain place in your career and you'd say, hey, you know what, I'd like to be part of that. I'd like to figure out how to code. I'd like to go to Gateway's 15-week coding curriculum and come out on the other end of that with a new professional career that I can take advantage of right here. We'd like to create 1,000 coding-capable people over a reasonable period of time. I had a gentleman call me from Chicago the other day and said, hey, Jeff, we've got a manufacturing business that would like to launch. Would Racine be interested in that? Yeah, of course we would be. Well, could you tell me how many people you have of these skill sets, and can I get those resources? Hang on, I got to get back to you. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the stuff we're trying to satisfy, is how do you build all of that out so people that want to come here can grow with that?
I think I get it. The Tech Prize is an event to bring people together from all different sectors to share their thoughts and ideas through a competition, an ideas competition. There will be some segmented areas like coding, which could connect to populations that are interested in things like esports and gaming and others. One of the events will be a pitch competition to share your best idea with venture capitalists to maybe generate some funding to get your ideas off the ground. And for everyone, there are workshops or biz shops, which are to expose and share ideas on how you can individually champion your ideas back in your home community or in partnership with others that you meet at this venue.
And I want to add one thing. Mm-hmm. And so then the cool part is our city is trying to work on the front end of this with the state, right? And so they're setting up opportunity zones. And so there's a gentleman named William Martin, mm-hmm. that is our head technology person for the city, worked with Corey, our mayor, right? And so if you come out with that great idea and you get that funding, then we're going to tie it into the governmental and the motivational process to be able to progress it from
there.
To
invest it right in Racine.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Excellent.
So who is it that you are hoping will come to this and participate in this? I mean, is this from people in this region or even wider than that?
So the Art Prize, as an example, is a global invitation. Bring whatever you've got, compete, the best win. And so we start with it with that mindset, but at the same time, we want to walk before we run. So we're starting with, a relatively local intention that will expand from there. But we really want to get from literally the youth through all of us, right? And so I think it's tomorrow, Thursday, we're meeting with all the school system leadership going through how do they hold their own competitions in each of the schools in the community, right? And motivate the thought process, get the ideas moving so that the winners in those local schools then can come and compete in the actual Tech Prize competition itself.
Wow. I'm just curious about this notion of when somebody has a great idea, I could imagine how somebody might be, in a sense, maybe reluctant to share that idea too openly for fear that someone else is going to take that idea and run with it. What word of reassurance would you have for somebody who might be fearful about that?
So there is a process that you need to appreciate, and it's called intellectual property management. Okay, and so there are IP lawyers, of which we have some individuals that are volunteering to help our process, and so that will be part of the educational process that we'll go through. And if someone has that great idea, they can go to the website. We'll be able to route them to where they can find those resources and ask those questions. There's a patenting process you go through. That's not cheap. It's good to have advice on how you go through that so you don't waste time or money. But this is where, those of us that have been through that can kind of streamline that and make it easier for those of us that haven't.
Wow. Excellent.
Is this on the calendar, or are you still in the process of sorting out exactly when and exactly where this is going to occur?
July 30th through August 10th of 2020, downtown Racine, spread out from the Gateway campus to the Parkside campus here with the gaming and the coding competitions, and then with the primary work taking place kind of in the downtown Racine area. And that's where, just think about all of these ideas will be hosted in different businesses downtown. So we, as citizens, ideally we're going to go around, we're going to have our little app, we'll walk around, we'll see those great things, we can vote on them. Like I said, we'll get a cup of coffee, we'll get some dinner, we'll buy some things, we'll have a good time, right?
Wow. I understand you had a wild launch party.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, Ray, you want to cover that one?
Sure. We did have a wild launch party, and by the way, everybody can find out more information at tech-prize.org, so make sure you're aware of that. But we had over 100 people come to that launch party. It was It was standing room only. We had camera crews in there. It was just a phenomenal event. And we walked through all the tracks. And the one that really got some people excited was the tech camps, which is where we're going to actually have from all the way from grade school all the way up, coming around smaller ideas, like they're going to have a little coding camp themselves where they can actually make little robots move around the room. Hmm. Our Fab Lab's going to be down there to show 3D printing. There's all kinds of events like that that'll be available for the kids. And then we have the community part of this, whereas we're going to have a big day. And a big day is all the big equipment that's manufactured in the whole area will be there on display in Main Street. Now think about that, kids crawling all through all that big tractors and all that stuff. So this is going to be a fun adventure that we're going on. But the crowd was energetic, excited. And when we were done, we did an hour presentation. When we were done, many of us stayed hours later talking to people and answering all the questions that they had.
That's really encouraging to hear that many people came out, that there's an interest like that, because I think it speaks to the need that's out there. People are hungry for this type of experience. It's cool to see it on TV or to maybe walk past it in a store, but now to be able to be a part of a conversation, a discussion, to put your ideas into action, I think that's really going to generate a lot of excitement and interest and bring a lot of people to Racine.
Right.
If I could, some of the questions that people were hitting me with afterward, it's like, oh, man, we're so glad that the community is coming together and doing this. But we're all volunteers, and it's not about looking across and saying, Corey Mason's not doing this, or so-and-so is not carrying their weight doing this. It's every one of us stepping up and making our community what it should be.
Absolutely.
And so the inside of that comment, the exchange I would have with the people we were talking is, how would you like to get involved? And so, Ray, you threw out tech-prize.org,
right?
Is where people can find it. We meet every Monday night at the Uncorked location on Main Street in downtown Racine at 6:30. Please come and, you know, get involved in one of the tracks. If you've got the skills to teach or mentor, do that. If you want to volunteer to route people around during the event, the art prize example has 800 volunteers that help out during the actual event that occurs. And you can imagine we're going to need the same, right? But if we can, I'd encourage people to make it about us. It's not about them, right?
Absolutely.
It's us making a difference for
That's
our community.
That's great. Mm.
And again, you were saying, Jeff, that this first time out, in some respects, on the one hand, it feels audacious and incredibly exciting and ambitious. But on the other hand, you have, in a sense, more careful, modest expectations about this first time out. You want to walk instead of run right off the bat.
Well,
is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people in our community, they kind of want to see the proof that it works, right? And, you know, when the art prize example started, nobody knew what would happen. But all of a sudden, the whole community came together, and it was phenomenal. Not only the local community, but people traveled to see this. So just think about, like you talked about the tech camps. What if in 5 years the nation or the world came to this community to have their kids educated in technology in different one-week-long events during the summer to motivate them to step into the next area? So, I mean, we start with humble intentions. One of the gentlemen on the team talks about this being a marathon, not a sprint. The prizes initially are – I don't think that's the key, is having a huge prize dollar value. But if we can create the process that takes an idea – allows people to get their educational needs met, gives them the mentoring to launch things, the process will win. And so that's what we really want to accomplish.
That's encouraging. I think if you take a look at how new thoughts and ideas happen, it's around the gathering of people, and this is intended to do that, and then exposing them to other ideas that they hadn't thought of before. So all these different venues, all these different tracks, as you call them, give people new experiences, and those new experiences add to their current experiences, which creates the rich environment that we're trying to create here.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
One more time, where do people find even more information about this?
Tech-prize.org.
Well, we trust that people will seek out more information about what sounds like an incredibly exciting undertaking.
I'm already working on my idea.
Yep. Good. And come down any Monday, 6:30 at Uncork in downtown Racine.
That's where the planning is taking place.
You
bet. People can,
we have 26 weeks left to finalize and be ready.
Wow. Very good. Well, how exciting. Ray Kukari, Dean of Manufacturing, Engineering, and IT here at Gateway Technical College. Jeff Daniel, CEO of Blue Flux Power, this brand new startup, and also having a very significant hand in the creation of Tech Prize. We appreciate both of you being here today to be part of this exciting conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Brian, for having us.
Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, always great to have you here as well.
Thank you, Greg.
Tomorrow on the morning show, the author of a book called After Jackie, which talks about the largely untold story of some of the black Major League Baseball players who came immediately in the wake of Jackie Robinson. Their experience was not easy at all, and their story's largely forgotten. For Black History Month, we'll be sharing that interview tomorrow. On Friday, we'll talk about the Lakeside Players production of Little Shop of Horrors. I want to mention that we have a special bonus podcast of today's morning show. Today's morning show, the interview you just heard, will be available as a podcast. Also, an interview I recorded last night with my sister, Rondi Berg, who was the precinct captain for Pete Buttigieg in the Decorah, Iowa caucus. So she will give us an insider's view of what it was like to be part of one of those caucus events. So that will be available only through the podcast edition of The Morning Show. And you look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg. It's available on all the major platforms of podcasts, including Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. And of course, The Morning Show broadcast version is always available on our website through The Morning